Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, joins us on a Monday morning. Also, we rebroadcast it on the weekend and also later on in the week as well in our noontime hour. And we say good morning to, obviously, what is probably hot and humid New York City, Arthur Schwartz.
It is very hot. It's going to get hotter. I just read on my phone that it's going to be 90 by noon, and I'm already in I can't cook anymore mode. You know, it's just so hot. But to say, I of course have my summer stuff, like I mentioned last week. But before I even get started, the irony. Last week I complained that I could not find a watermelon with seeds. They were all seedless. I happened to have a 23-pound watermelon sitting here at the time. And right after I got off the air, I decided, oh, you know, time to open up this melon and get it in the fridge. I can't fit a 23-pound watermelon in my refrigerator without cutting it up. So I opened up this watermelon literally at 5 minutes after 8 or whatever it was. And sure enough, it's filled with seeds. And I said, how did I end up with this? And, you know, ends up, it had a label on it, actually said very clearly, seeded watermelon. But I took it out of the same bin that I'd gotten the one with no seeds last week. So I didn't even look, but there it is. Now, was it any better than the seedless watermelon? Yes. Can I say definitively that no is the answer? It was one watermelon. So one watermelon does not make a trend. I'll buy another watermelon with seeds today and one without seeds, and let's see what the difference is. Listen, it was I'm accepting watermelon for whatever it is because it's wet and refreshing and allowed on my barely any carbohydrate diet. However, I am about to add carbohydrates to my diet, I decided. Since I've been on a plateau for so long, I think it's time to vary my diet and see what happens. And how I'm varying it is in very minor ways. I'm not eating big bowls of spaghetti. I'm not eating a big baked potato. Of course, it's one of the things that I'm sort of craving. But I did make a big pot of, just before the heat came, I knew it was coming. So I made this huge pot of minestrone, which we can now eat for days without cooking, except maybe just heat up on the stove. But I must tell you that my minestrone is very, and I put a can of beans in the minestrone, but it's an enormous quantity, so it's not that many beans per serving. And of course, I can't make soup like this, big vegetable soup, without carrots, and carrots are a high carb vegetable, and of course, onions, which are another high carb. So, you know, the soup has some carbohydrates in it, but they're all vegetable carbohydrates. And as my 10-year-old great nephew explained to me the other day, if you eat the starch or the sugar in the form of fruit or vegetables, it's not the same as eating it just for its own sake, which he's right. Anyway, so I did introduce carbs into our diet via this soup, and I must tell you, no harm done. I was actually down a pound yesterday, finally, and I'm going to freeze some of it, and you know, because we can't eat it every single day, but we can eat it pretty often. Anyway, what I did last night, though, I just, you know, the heat really, just, I lose my appetite, which is a good thing. But last night I had a dish of my heritage. I had what the dairy restaurants, Jewish kosher dairy restaurants of old, used to call farmer's caviar. When it was hot like this, and humid, my mother would make all different things with sour cream. Yeah, she would boil potatoes. That was the only thing that was a cooked thing. That went, and now, by the way, of course, my favorite thing was potatoes with sour cream, salt and pepper, and maybe if you really were indulgent, some butter, but you didn't need anything else. I still, you know, dote on noodles, egg noodles with sour cream. I'm a sour cream guy. What can I say? It's part of my, it's in my DNA. My family on my mother's side, maternal, both grandmother and grandfather were of Belarusian heritage. My grandmother was born in Brooklyn, but her father, my great-grandfather, had a grocery in East New York, and behind the grocery, he kept goats. And so we always had dairy products. My grandmother always thought I was raised on goat's milk. A lot of children even today are given goat's milk because they have trouble digesting cow's milk, but goat's milk is apparently easier to digest, especially for undeveloped gastrointestinal systems. In any case, we ate a lot of sour cream in the summer. So there was potatoes and sour cream. My mother loving sweets. She always had bananas and sour cream, strawberries and sour cream. These are all things that I still love. And last night I made, because I did go to the farmer's market on Saturday, and I did buy stuff that I could not buy in a normal market, because I keep complaining about our farmer's market. The prices are way higher than any store you would go to, and I don't get it, since we're buying directly from farmers. You would think that at least the price would be similar to what they have in the markets. There is one vegetable vendor at my local green market, my local farmer's market, I discovered only yesterday, and then he has very good products, and because I've eaten some of them already, and reasonable prices. So I will go back there. But one of the things I found were locally grown, what they call seedless cucumbers. If you buy those in the supermarket, they usually call them English cucumbers, and they're the very long ones. Excuse me, they're not entirely seedless. They actually do have seeds, but they're smaller and softer seeds than a normal, well, I shouldn't say normal, but a usual garden variety cucumber, or even a Kirby cucumber, which isn't that seedy anyway. But in any case, these, I can't believe these cucumbers. I did two things with them. I made pickled cucumbers salad, which is something my grandmother, who was not from Belarus, my grandmother, who was more, I would say, Austro-Hungarian, more Hungarian than Russian, and she made very thinly sliced cucumber. I do this all the time. And you can use any cucumber you want, but these particularly sweet cucumbers. So I sliced it on my mandolin very thin, and then I cover them with, and also some onion. I bought these new onions, so I used about maybe a third of a new onion sliced also on the mandolin with one small, not as big as you get in the supermarket English cucumber. But one reason I bought these cucumbers is that you can eat the peel. I can use that fiber. your garden variety of cucumber, you really, and certainly if you buy it in a supermarket, you have to peel it. For one thing, it's waxed. These are not waxed. These were pure. I just washed them and dried them. Anyway, sliced cucumber, cover it with a mixture of half water, half vinegar. I use apple cider vinegar these days for this, half and half. And my grandmother always added a little bit of sugar. When she became diabetic, she added sweet and low, which I decided was really horrible because it creates a very metallic finish to the salad. I didn't like that at all. I didn't even know why you needed any sugar. And fact is, with these cucumbers, I didn't need any sugar, but I added about a half a teaspoon. So I wasn't killing myself with carbohydrates. But it did take a tiny edge or balanced out the vinegar. But the fact is, these cucumbers were so sweet on their own that they didn't need any sugar. So that was, and I put quite a bit of chopped dill. That's another Belarus thing. I mean, I've never been to Belarus. I was in the airport in Minsk once. But it was a very rainy day. There was mud everywhere. That's all I sort of remember about Minsk. But anyway, Minsk is the main city of Belarus. I never even heard, by the way, did you ever hear of Belarus when you were growing up? It wasn't
no.
a country.
No, yeah, no.
No, it didn't really become a country until 1991, when the dissolution of the Soviet Union, it became the Republic of Belarus. And if you can't place it, I'm good at geography, I must say. if you can't place it, it has Russia. It's what do you call when you have no coast? It's a landlocked. It's a landlocked country between Lithuania, Poland, I think there's a little Latvian border there, and Russia. So that's why when you ask my grandparents, you know, what were they? They would say they were Litvaks. They wouldn't say they were Belarus. My grandfather was actually born there. He would say he was born in Minsk, which is not true. He was born in some shtetl, some little farming village outside Minsk. All those grandparents and great-grandparents who said they were born in Minsk were actually from little villages. Very few Jews were actually living in the main city of Minsk. So he would say he was from Minsk. But he came when he was 13. He actually liked to tell the story about how he had his bar mitzvah in China because they were crossing, I forget the name of the, I guess it's the trans-whatever railroad they took from Minsk to... I'm forgetting the name of the Russian port, from which they sailed to San Francisco. So my ancestors did not come through Ellis Island because my maternal grandparents came through, well, either came before there was an Ellis Island or came from the West Coast. And my paternal grandparents came, their families came before there was an Ellis Island. So anyway, back to sour cream. Which is supposed to be the subject of the moment. So sour cream, you know, there was no food in what they used to call White Russia when my grandparents' families came, and they all had everybody had a cow or some goats to have their own dairy products. So dairy was, in fact, a hugely important food. Fresh cheeses, you know, like cottage cheese and farmer cheese and what we call pot cheese, which is actually another kind of cottage cheese. Friendship makes a cheese, again, called pot cheese. It's really just large curd cottage cheese. Maybe a little creamier, maybe a little drier. It depends on the product. Anyway, all these products, these dairy products, were a big deal. And a way to nourish yourself, most importantly, if you didn't have meat really to speak of, if you could only have chicken once in a while, because of course you had to kill a chicken to eat a chicken, and if you didn't kill, like in Italy, you didn't kill the birds that were giving eggs because eggs were important form of protein. The other, I don't know when this actually happened, but I'm guessing it was the 18th century. Russians and white Russians became hooked on mayonnaise. So truthfully, they have as much mayonnaise in White Russia. To give you an example, this is something that has traveled even to Brighton Beach. When you go into a restaurant, I've been to, you know, some of these countries. Did I say this already? But this is why my maternal grandparents said they were Litvaks, because there was no Belarus. There was just the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, which they were all part of at one point. Anyway, so they were all Lithuanian, so to speak. So the main form of mayonnaise is a salad that we actually, in the U.S., and in Italy for that matter, maybe in France as well, call Russian salad. And it's diced vegetables, carrots, peas, potatoes, some form of onion or other. It could be scallions, could be onion, could be red onion, and often with a protein. Could be diced chicken, could be diced ham, could be both, if you were a rich version of this, and all mixed together with enormous quantities of mayonnaise. And if you went to a restaurant in Russia, when I went during Soviet years, restaurants, they didn't have much to serve, but they did have this Russian salad, which they call salad Olivier, because I was always told it was created by a French chef. Actually, Olivier was a Belgian chef, because definitely going to Moscow, even to cook for the Tsar, was certainly a secondary kind of job. You know, if you were really a great chef, you didn't want to go to Russia, a great French chef. So anyway, Yeah, so salad, Russian salad or salad Olivier is everywhere. And that's a mayonnaise dish. And, of course, mayonnaise is mostly fat. It's just emulsified, seasoned oil. And, of course, that's very filling, as is high-fat sour cream. So, you know, sour cream is in the U.S. is allowed to have a thickener. And I sort of got, I'm not into this. I grew up on Breakstone's sour cream and Friendship sour cream. And there are, and then there's that one that comes in the white container, which is sort of liquidy. They advertise a lot, dairy something. Daisy sour cream. And the Daisy doesn't have the thickener, but I don't like it very much. And I like the flavor of Breakstone still, because, of course, I grew up on it. But I must say, it does taste thickened and starchy to me. And so now I just started buying Organic Valley, which is a very well-distributed brand. What first got me interested in Organic Valley is that they sell cultured butter. And I grew up eating cultured butter. That was another thing that was a taste from Belarus. My grandfather definitely had this taste for slightly fermented butter. And my grandmother would have to go out of her way to buy it. Even in the 1950s and 60s, it was disappearing. I think you can go to a Russian store here in Brooklyn and buy something like it, but is it. However, I don't go to Russian stores these days. They're just too rude for me. And during COVID, they became ruder and more dangerous places to go. So encouraged by the cultured butter that Organic Valley makes, I bought their sour cream recently, and it is sensational. It's only a little bit sour. It's very creamy. You might even mistake it for creme fraiche. It has a higher fat content than creme fraiche. But, you know, creme fraiche is a form of fermented cream and just usually not as sour as sour cream. But this Organic Valley is really delicious. And I made a salad. I think I started by saying this was called Farmer's Caviar in the dairy restaurants. Chopped cucumber, the sweet English cucumber, with the peel on because it was so good. Some radishes, which I also diced up. Some scallions, which I also sliced very thin. And actually, I cut them in half lengthwise and then cut them thin so that the scallion distributes nice and even. Salt, pepper, and sour cream. You don't have to load up the sour cream, but you want it to dress every little bit of vegetable. You could add tomato to that, too. I opted last night to have the tomato separate. I bought my first good field-grown tomato, local field-grown tomato on Saturday. So we had that for its own sake because it was too good to just throw in a salad at this moment. And that was dinner. And you know what? Sour cream is filling.
You know, it's funny you mentioned sour cream as a kid. Now, you would think that a kid wouldn't like sour cream, but in my house, you had sour cream. I know this is going to sound crazy. We had a choice with potato pancakes, either applesauce or sour cream. And what's the meat of soup? We would have
borscht.
We would have it in borscht. You would have it
beets. Yeah, no, it was everywhere. There you go.
And I
thought you were of Hungarian descent.
Well, my grandmother was of Hungarian, and then of course my father's side was Jewish. And another thing I like to use it for. I use very little mayonnaise in my potato salad and my macaroni salad.
Okay.
And I put sour cream in those.
All right. Perfect segue, Marshall. You helped me out here. It is 4th of July next Sunday. I probably am not talking to you until after the 4th. And it is my tradition, my Arthur Schwartz tradition, to always make Burt Green's ziti salad for 4th of July. This is such a fabulous, addictive thing that my niece calls it crack macaroni, because she can't stop eating it. And it is a dressing of sour cream mixed with mayonnaise. Now, mayonnaise is pretty much pure fat. So when I say you're lightening it up by adding sour cream, I'm not joking. Because sour cream, you know, maybe 30% fat, whereas mayonnaise is 98% fat. So you are, in effect, using a little less fat than if you use all mayonnaise. So I have to quickly give you this recipe because it's a tradition, and I want to honor Bert Green, who is my dear friend who died way too young. I'm just taking a deep breath. It was almost 30 years ago. And he was much older. He was actually the same age as my father. Anyway, this is a ziti salad that Bert used to sell in the Hamptons when he opened his first and maybe the nation's first takeout food store called The Store in Amagansett. It's a famous, famous shop. A lot because a lot of famous people used to shop there. But Bert later became a food writer, wrote a book called The Store Cookbook. This may be in The Store Cookbook. But this is, and Bert had a couple of tricks here. First is you boil the pasta, a pound of ziti, it's a ziti salad. You want to use at least 5 quarts of boiling water to do that for 1 pound of pasta. And you want to add at least 1 tablespoon of salt to that 5 quarts of water. And you just boil it until it is al dente, as we say. And then you can, because this is a salad, okay? You can briefly run it under the cold water and make sure it's very well drained. Put it in a mixing bowl and add, this is a trick I learned in Naples, 1/4 cup of cold whole milk. What you want to do is keep tossing the hot, you rinsed it quickly, but it's still hot. And you want to keep stirring that every once in a blue as you're doing the rest of the preparation. And what will happen is the macaroni will absorb the 1/4 cup of milk, and it won't absorb your dressing, as macaroni salads tend to do. So put that aside and prepare the other vegetables, which is a medium red onion, could be a smallish red onion, cut into 1/4-inch dice. You can use 2 peppers, a red pepper, yellow pepper, if you want super colorful, a red pepper, a green pepper. I tend to use all red pepper, so I use a medium-ish red pepper, diced 1/4-inch, but you can do whatever you like. You want to have at least, I don't know, 1/2 cup, no, more than that. You want 1 cup of pepper, whatever pepper it is. 2 small to medium tomatoes, diced. 6 sweet gherkin pickles. They vary in size, I find. The sweet gherkins, you want like 6 big ones from the jar, finely minced or chopped. A large shallot, finely minced. And this is your vegetable addition. The dressing is 1/2 cup of sour cream, 1 1/2 cups, remember this is making a lot of salad, 1 1/2 cups of mayonnaise, and Bert's secret ingredient, which I had to go out of my way to find several years ago, but now I'm well supplied, it's inert. 2 packets of G. Washington brown bouillon powder. Now, I have made this salad without the G. Washington, and you know what? It's not crack salad anymore. It's just normal. It's just normal macaroni salad. You want to put salt, pepper, a little vinegar, a little bit of the gherkin juice, and the last thing, and do this just before you serve it, 1 handful at least. That means at least 1/2 cup of chopped fresh dill. And this is a great 4th of July salad. Nobody will care if you're only making hamburgers and hot dogs if you have this salad. And if you can't find the G. Washington, which I know I told this story on the air, but when I was searching for this, I went to every market in my neighborhood, and I could not find it. One of my friendly supermarket cashiers, in chatting with me, she says, "You have everything?" I said, "Well, actually, I was looking for G. Washington bouillon powder, but I can't find it." She says, "Honey, you got to go to a poor neighborhood to find that. You're not going to find it in right. Park Slope." Yeah. And I'm sure she's right, but I ended up ordering it online. That's right. That's what you do when you live in an affluent neighborhood. So, yeah, I'm going to go off the diet and make this for, for the 4th of July. And I don't know what else, but you know what? It's time for me to introduce some carbs back in my life, if only a little bit at a time.
Well, but that can't be that bad for you because you still are basically doing the other thing. So, I mean...
Well, I don't know what the other thing is. If I eat macaroni salad, I'm not doing nothing. there's no good in that macaroni. No, there are vegetables.
but there's nothing like a well-made potato salad.
You know what? I have made that dressing for potato salad, and it's great, okay? I have also made it for salad. And I could eat that. You know what I mean? No reason you can't eat lettuce. I have actually used that dressing in other ways. And you don't have to put all the vegetables in, but you definitely need the shallots. And I'm very big on shallot lately. Yeah. If you think about it, it's a sweet onion.
If you have somebody in your life, as I do,
who claims not to like raw onion, you can get away with a lot of shallot.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You still get, for the true onion lovers, you still get the onion thing. And for people who don't like onions, and you don't tell them that it's in there, they don't realize it anyway. Really, that's
well,
what I found.
What turned Bob's opinion around is that he loves, well, first of all, he loves mayonnaise in any way, shape, or form. But he loves tartar sauce. And in fact, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but we're planning a trip to England, and I found this amazing fish and chips shop very close to our hotel where we can go for our first lunch. And he says, but do they have tartar sauce? He says, in England, I don't think I'm going to get tartar sauce. So actually, they do have tartar sauce at this place.
Yeah, tell him Arthur
Treacher. But I make tartar sauce with shallot. And when he discovered that, and that he didn't mind, that he actually liked it, I now get to use shallot more prolifically.
You can tell him Arthur Treacher is dead, and because I used to like to go to Arthur Treacher's fish and chips, but you couldn't get
Malt vinegar.
Your vinegar, that's it.
They wouldn't do tartar sauce.
No.
I don't know. It's such an American company. You would think by now that they would have tartar sauce.
I don't even think they're around anymore.
You know, I haven't seen one in a long time, but I did watch a movie last week with Arthur Treacher in it.
did you think of fish and chips when you saw him?
I did, actually. No, actually, when I see Arthur Treacher, I think of Merv Griffin.
That's exactly.
Rest his soul.
He was funny on Merv Griffin. He was terrific.
He was great.
Yeah.
And one of his lines that he used on when he, you know, if you don't remember, folks. Arthur Treacher, the great English actor, played butlers in I don't know how many movies. Yeah. The one I saw, by the way, was the one, I'm forgetting the title, but it was the one with Shirley Temple, where he and Shirley Temple sing and dance together. I thought my niece, a 7-year-old niece, would get a kick out of that, but she was lukewarm. Anyway, point is, so Arthur Treacher's he's Merv Griffin's sidekick on Merv Griffin's talk show, and Merv Griffin would sometimes turn to him and ask him for an opinion about politics, about life, about culture, about something. It doesn't matter. And Arthur Treacher's line was, I don't know. I say my lines, I collect my money, and I go home. So I used to use that a lot, especially when I was an editor at the Daily News. I don't know the answer to that. I just do my job, I collect my money, and I go home.
Now, was the movie you saw, The Little Princess?
That's it, The Little Princess.
Yeah.
You know what bothered Sydney, 7-year-old, is she's very sensitive about people dying.
Yeah.
And if you remember in that movie, Shirley Temple's father, who's a soldier, is thought, not in fact, but thought to be dead. We never got to the end of the movie where she finds out that he's not dead, but that was upsetting enough to her for us to move on to some other movie.
When I was a kid, we were watching Little Old Yeller, and when Old Yeller died, I wailed. I didn't sleep for 2 nights.
All right, well, so I'm going to end with this very cute story. This is about a friend of mine whose son, who's now in his mid-20s, I guess. When the boy was little, he used to be his mother was working and his father was working. He used to be placed with his grandparents, and for the afternoon, his mother would drop him off in the morning at her parents' and pick him up on her way home. and along with the grandparents came two uncles, and they were thugs. And I don't know, the kid was, I'm not even going to mention names here, the kid was maybe 7, 8 years old, and his father, who's a very sensitive fellow, took him to see one of those movies where the dog dies at the end. I don't remember which one. And the boy, when the lights went on in the theater, the boy was crying. And the father said to him, "Now, wasn't that was a sad movie, wasn't it?" And the kid said, "Nah, I just..." And he called his father a name that you never should call your father. "Chooch. Hey, Chooch. Nah, I just got something in my eye." That was the last time my friend said that I ever left him with his uncle.
Okay. All right,
so
Arthur.
The kid who's now in his mid-20s has turned out great. By the way, just to add that. And he doesn't call his father Chooch anymore.
Chooch. On that.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a donkey.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Hey, Chooch. All right.
Hey, have
so,
a happy Fourth.
Today is a, I don't know, I have vegetable soup I made before the heat wave. I may have enough power to just heat it up a little bit.
All right. Well, have a happy weekend. A happy Fourth of July.
Happy Fourth of July on Sunday.
Yep.
Does everybody get off on Monday?
I don't think so.
You mean they lose the holiday?
Don't they have it on a Friday? I thought that they always pushed it to the Friday ahead of time.
It's a Friday. Okay. So next Monday when I talk to you again, it won't be any holiday.
No. It'll be. All right, Arthur. Have a great
All right.
Week.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. You're on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. And on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com.